Military leaders, up to and including the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, say cyber attacks by a sophisticated nation state are near the top of the list of things they worry about. And from that point of view, a new Pentagon report has to make them worry a little bit more. It finds far too many of DOD's own networks aren't up to the challenge of defending against amateur cyber attackers. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about that report in this week's edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook. I guess the item that I would go to first in my own mind is the CENTCOM hack that we learned about, where supposedly no valuable information was taken, but it looked really bad, at least for a little while, Jared. Is that the kind of thing that this report gets at?
I'm not sure it totally does, but I think it's a perfect example of sort of password theft, which seems to have been what that CENTCOM hack was. I mean, it was literally just against the public Twitter account that CENTCOM uses. But I think the folks that wrote this report are worried about a little bit more mission critical systems. What we're talking about is something that DOD's Director of Operational Test and Evaluation puts out every year, and it's generally just a sum up of the performance of all of the department's biggest programs that are far enough along to do operational testing every year. And within those programs, there are some individual components that are a little bit more alarming. For example, the Air Force's financial accounting project called DEAMS, D-E-A-M-S, DEAMS, is one of the big critical systems it's using to get to audit readiness. But the report said that could easily be infiltrated by a hacker who had at least some knowledge of DOD's business processes to essentially move money from one place to another and exploit that for financial gain. But that's a rare example, frankly, in the report of specific instances where it calls out specific programs in DOD and specific systems that are vulnerable for obvious reasons. They don't want to tell the bad guys, what's vulnerable in an unclassified report. Most of what we're talking about in the notebook this week is a more general assessment the office gave in a separate section on cybersecurity. And the upshot of that is that out of the dozen and a half cybersecurity exercises they looked at over roughly the last year and a half, they reached the conclusion that you don't need to be that sophisticated of a hacker to actually infiltrate your way into DOD networks. Even folks with a low level or moderate level of skill, and those people, we should point out, are not actual hackers. They're red teams who work for DOD. But those people simulating the skills of what they think are really basic techniques were able to get into a lot of DOD systems during the exercises the DOT&E office oversaw. And it's kind of a similar story on acquisition programs, which is the main thing that DOT&E traditionally is in charge of looking at. The report says that out of nearly every single one of the systems DOT&E evaluated over 2014, there were significant vulnerabilities. They said on every major acquisition system that went through operational testing and evaluation, they found those. And many of those should have been found, could have been found much earlier in the acquisition cycle before they got that far. They did credit the department with finding a lot of similar problems that they found during 2013, but just as many cropped up in 2014. And again, these are things that, according to DOT&E, should have been fixed and found much earlier. So who knows how many of these things are flying under the radar and actually making their way into systems that get fielded.
A lot of eyebrow raisers that you have in this story inside the reporter's notebook, and it's up at federalnewsradio.com later this afternoon. One of them, you write, Jared, the report found the defenders' response to seeing enemies on their networks was to reboot affected machines or reinstall software they thought was infected. While those may be effective steps, not particularly helpful if the objective is to keep systems up and running. It's also not particularly helpful for attribution purposes, I imagine.
It's a great point, and I think you picked up on one of the key points of this report, Francis, which is, the report basically found that DOD systems are vulnerable to, as we said before, intermediate-level hackers, but it also gives them very little confidence that the department could defend their systems against advanced persistent threats. And so once you accept that as a reality, you have to realize, okay, we're going to be attacked, our systems are going to be infiltrated, people are going to you degrade our ability to operate on the network. So the only rational response to that basically is you have to be able to fight through that. You have to continue to have systems that can perform mission critical functions even while someone is attacking you, performing a denial of service attack, doing whatever. And the report is pretty critical about DoD's ability to continue to do that. As you alluded to, what they found basically is that one of the major defensive mechanisms that DoD's defensive teams has to respond to these simulated attacks is to basically shut down computers or reinstall software packages, which has its own knock-on effects, by the way. If you reinstall software packages, you're also not reinstalling all the software patches. Yep. that were supposed to fix all the vulnerabilities between the time the CD landed on your desk and now. So those are really, I think, some of the office's main concerns about the department's ability to, as we said, fight through an attack. If you're working on a mission critical system, your response cannot be to just shut everything down in order to get rid of the hackers. You've got to keep the system up and be able to continue operating while in some way fending off the actual damage that those folks are doing.
The other flashing red light in your report is red teams routinely is a word from the report, burrowed their way deep into networks using stolen passwords. The most common points of entry were vulnerable websites and through phishing attacks. Maybe I'm asking too much. I would hope that we're starting to get beyond the phishing attack situation in 2015, but it sounds like that's not the case, Jared.
Not just phishing attacks, but the thing that struck me here too was how prevalent apparently passwords still are within the Department of Defense, which was among the government's leaders in instituting two-factor authentication, including PKI credentials, which is something we'll talk about next week with Mark Orndorff, who's the departing top security official with the Defense Information Systems Agency. If passwords are still that prevalent within DoD, that in and of itself seems like a strong problem. The report we're talking about did not directly address that, but that was something that was very surprising to me. But I should say that there was one bright spot in this report that the authors called out at U.S. Transportation Command. They basically successfully blocked all the attacks that these red teams threw at them by just having strong password policies, having an automated process where all of their servers were logged and they could look for anomalies, and the attackers basically never got in. But the Office of Test and Evaluation said that was the exception, not the rule.
You mentioned the online chat that you have coming up with Mark Orndorff. Plug that, because we are getting people to register for that already. And it's not like there's a limit or anything, but the earlier you register for that, the better, I imagine.
Yeah, we'd like to sign up as many people as we possibly can. As my colleague Jason Miller reported last week, Mark Orndorff is going to retire. His last day is actually on Friday of next week. He's been kind enough to spend two blocks of time with us. I just recorded actually full hour radio interview with him yesterday. We'll actually air that on Monday at 9 a.m. We encourage people to listen to that just after the federal drive on Monday. And then once you do listen, we want you to ask follow-up questions. So please do go to federalnewsradio.com and register for that online chat. It's free, but you do need to register in advance. If you have questions you want to send in advance, we also encourage that. Send them to me via email at jserbu@federalnewsradio.com, or you can tweet them to me too. All that information's on the website.
It's Jay Serbu, S-E-R-B-U-W-F-E-D is your Twitter handle, and the registration is real easy. You go to federalnewsradio.com, and there's a red flag across the top of the website where you can sign up for that. Jared Serbu's Inside the Reporter's Notebook. It's great to have you on, as always, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Francis. See ya.